Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by Justin Wells, InsideTexas.com reporter and analyst. Justin and I, on every Sunday following a game, do a rapid reactions piece. We try to break down the previous game, talk about the hottest topics, that sort of stuff. Going to ask Justin a bunch of questions here, but I got to say thank you first to Bertolottis Rodman, our sponsor. At Bertolottis Rodman, it's about the relationships. The full-service firm specializes in business and real estate law. Tim Rodman is the guy there that we know well at Inside Texas. They satisfy the needs of a startup to complex negotiations to every contract needed in between. Bertolottis Rodman develops lasting, meaningful relationships that put their clients first. Justin, first and foremost, your overall thoughts on the game yesterday.
Yesterday was a learning experience, I think, for a lot of people, not only Texas fans, but the Texas football team. It's a learning process in the fact that when you're on the road in the beginning of conference play and you have the opportunity to stomp and absolutely put down a team and an opponent, you better do it. When you get double-digit leads and you have the ball and you have the momentum and you obviously have the tempo and everything going in your way, you've got to step on their throat. And they didn't. They let this team hang around, Bobby. There has got to be a you need to develop a killer instinct. You play well against the tough teams. You've got to beat the teams you're supposed to. And in this regard, Bobby, that's the main takeaway for me, is that I felt like Texas was the better collection of players on the field, but Texas Tech was the better team because that's a team that just they didn't quit. And Texas had so many opportunities where they could have put this team away. To me, that's the biggest takeaway of all, is that Texas literally let Tech hang around the rim. They let them believe that they were in it. Even when they were down double digits without the ball, they let them believe they were in it. And then, you know, we'll go through the numbers and the plays and the things of that sort. But Texas, if you want to, you know, if they want to get to that next spot, that next level to grow as a program, they have to win these games. It's not like they got beat in Lubbock. They went up there and they played around too much in the second half and it wound up biting them in the butt.
Yeah. How much of that is deja vu, right? From a year ago, Texas last year losing several double digit leads in the second half. So, it's sobering, I think is a good word, right? Because we're looking at it and we see Texas's defense is appreciably better than a year ago. Not as many big plays given up, right?
Right.
Still no disruptors, though. No big sacks, no big interceptions. The one big interception of the year, I mean, it fell into Jahdae Barron's hands. It wasn't necessarily forced. I feel like this defense, they do let people hang around the rim. They get dinked and dunked on, to your point. But the bigger piece of what you're saying from an overall feel, Justin, is that they lack a killer instinct. We saw that on fourth downs. Multiple times they connected on 6 of 8 fourth downs. Only 2 of those fourth downs were not what I would call competitive plays for Texas. So they completed 4 of 6 competitive plays. The last one to Miles Price on that final drive to get him into field goal range at the end of the game. That was a heck of a play by them. But at the same time, Texas with a slightly better pass rush that gets home, that play doesn't have time to develop. DeMarvin Overshown gets shook at midfield on a Donovan Smith scramble. You mentioned it's not just that. It's also they don't take advantage of a 2-score lead with the ball at midfield, right? And furthermore, by not making it, you put the other team in immediate position to, you know, it's going to be 4-down territory the rest of the game based on the way they were playing. So you're right. It's a lack of killer instinct at some level, but it's on both sides of the ball. It's not just one. And so offense didn't have a killer instinct in the second half, in my opinion, until they got down. And then the defense didn't have one all game. except for maybe part of the second quarter. And once that they got out of that second quarter, they were playing to hold on to the lead instead of aggressively playing to lengthen it.
That's exactly what happened. Bobby, you just nailed it. They were playing to hold the lead rather than playing to win. We saw that in the offensive game plan, and we saw that in the play calling in the second half, especially in the late second half, where they felt like you couldn't run the ball. Whereas for three quarters, they were running it with ease. Bijan Robinson was stacking yards. They were easily moving the chains. And for whatever reason in that fourth quarter, the play calling just became very vanilla. It became very plain, and it gave Tech just enough opportunity to believe they were still in it. They gave Tech enough just to make a few stops on third down. Three consecutive three and outs? You, in the fourth quarter on the road with a double-digit lead, you cannot do that. You're right. It's on both sides of the ball. But in the fourth quarter, I blame the offense because this thing could have easily been put away. This thing could have easily – shifted with one more strong drive to put this game away. You've got to tell the guys when you're going into that moment, gentlemen, this is it. Step on their throat, squash the bug. It's time to kill. They didn't.
Yeah, here's the reality of it. They didn't have three straight three and outs. They had two straight and then a five play drive and out. To your point, no points though in those three drives.
So and no clock and
no clock. And we agree. I do put it on the defense just as much because they're not capitalizing on their opportunities either. Justin, I can't sit here and tell you they had opportunities to get off.
They were on the field for 100 plays, Bobby.
They had a chance to get off the field on every drive that Texas Tech scored on, except for the final one.
Yeah. At some point in each drive, they had
every single one. They had a chance.
You don't convert six fourth downs without it taking a lack of concentration on the other team. It's hard to convert fourth downs in practice, Bobby.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the defense as a whole? Do you think they're better still? Do you think that they just don't have a disruptor? Do you think that they're not being put in position to be disruptive? You think they're not being aggressive enough? What's your overall take on the defense? I have my own. I want to hear yours.
They don't keep guys in front of them. You've got to tackle better. I'm going to go more basics. I actually like the scheme. I like where guys are, you know, where they're at, mix and match. And I like the you know, how PK's drawn up a lot of this stuff. The defense is playing better, Bobby. This is a better defense as a whole. Little things.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You got to keep guys in front of you. You cannot miss as many tackles. There were a ton of missed tackles, and I get it. Donovan Smith is big. No kidding. 6'5", 230. He's going to fall forward when he has to for 3 or 4 yards. Miles Price looked like Michael Crabtree. Like, you can't let this guy knew where the first down marker was on every single route. He knew exactly where he was at and what he needed to get. So I'm going to give Tech a little bit of credit there. But on defense, the defense has got to tackle better. They got to keep guys in front of them better. Here's another sobering thought. Tech didn't even run the ball that well. They really didn't. This was a dink and dunk type style of offense. It was almost like a let's get by this drive. Let's just see what we can produce on this drive. There was no identity. There was no consistency. It was three downs of let's see if we can get the first to fourth down. Okay, say our prayers. Donovan, fall forward 3 yards. It wasn't like you got out schemed. It wasn't like Texas got outplayed. They just didn't tackle at the right time. They didn't get off the field at the right time. And, you know, God forbid, 100 plays at any defense is going to give up points. When you're on the field for that long, for that amount of time, it goes both ways. If the offense does a little bit better with time management in the second half, the defense doesn't have to be on the field for as long as it is. but hindsight is always 20/20. Overall, the tackling's got to be a little bit better. I think the defense is still better as a whole. I don't think this is an indicator of a lack of a good defense. I still think this is a good group. This was a gut check, Bobby. This was a gut check because you let the team hang around. This wasn't like you were getting dominated or beat. You just kind of let the team hang around. You played bend, don't break. And you can do that as long as when the ball's on the other side of the field and you have the offense, you take off some of that time. You allow some of that rest and recovery and things of that sort before you get to it. I don't know any defense that plays 100 plays that comes out victorious. I don't know any. It's just you're asking way too much of that group, and there were too many times where they could have just gotten off the field one or two plays, 1 or 2 yards, not to mention a handful of reviews that should have been reviewed. There was a play for Tech where they almost scored where that should have been reviewed. Jordan Whittington's catch should have been reviewed. I mean, I digress. This defense is better, Bobby, but they've got to tackle better, and they've got to know when they've got a team barely on life support, got to pull the plug.
Yeah, my thoughts are a little more sobering. I think Texas had 25 of that 700, 25 came after fourth downs were converted. So really, it would have been 75 plays if they would have gotten themselves off the field. So
that's a quarter of the game.
I know, but to think that I think there's a larger fundamental problem right now at Texas on defense. Who's stepping up and making big plays? The answer is nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, that you can say what you want. DeMarvion Overshown stepped up and made a big play against UTSA, and then it gets called off by a targeting, right? But who made a big play for Texas yesterday on defense? Anybody?
I tweeted
maybe Anthony Cook had a good game. He's the only one that had a real pass breakup.
Hey, Anthony Cook was tremendous. And I tweeted in the fourth quarter, if there was one time Texas needed a turnover to create, it was now. Like, the time was now. And it never happened.
No, it never did. And that's why, they may have a good collection of talent. I'm not sure Texas has a playmaker on defense outside right now, DeMarvion Overshown. And he's limited because he's not a true linebacker at this point. And so I feel like as I look at it, Justin, Texas has a very average defense. Even if they're keeping the ball in front of them, they're not turning the ball over. We're looking at a team that's going into Big 12 conference play that you mentioned the dink and dunk of a lot of teams in the Big 12. That's what they do. I mean, that's what you think West Virginia doesn't do that. That's an air raid. It's the same sort of thing. You think that Mike Gundy doesn't try to dink and dunk until he can hit you over the top? That's what he's done forever. Yeah. Kansas State, they're trying to run the quarterback more now. So, I mean, you're going to have these teams that try to play ball control with you, okay? So you better have an answer for that to not allow them to play ball control so you get off the field more and do it in a quicker way so they have less of a chance to really dictate the game plan to you. Rod said it on the postgame show last night. He goes, the problem right now I see is we don't dictate. The defense does not dictate to the opposing offense. They instead allow them to say, okay, we'll give you five.
He's right. You're right.
Yeah, I know he's right. And what I'm saying to you is that's got to change at some point. They changed it a little bit in the second quarter, but they didn't have another idea after that when Tech answered that problem.
Yeah.
And so Tech finished. They only had two times they didn't score on six second-half possessions, Justin. They scored 20 points, 4 out of 6 drives, 2 touchdowns, 2 field goals. They also the only time lost both possessions on fourth down conversions, one very early in the second half, where Texas got the ball back with 10 left. You mentioned that the running game. Go to a next piece. You mentioned the Texas running game was stacking up yards in the first half, and Texas kind of went away from it in the third and fourth quarter. Part of that, I believe, is Tech started saying, okay, we're going to make you beat us throwing the football.
Yeah.
We're not going to let Bijan and Roshan beat us running the football. And when Xavier Worthy went out,
that was it.
I mean, that they said, okay, we're just going to play with one safety.
Yeah.
And man up everywhere else and see if Hudson Card can figure it out with any of these receivers vis-a-vis what we're doing in the run game. And, you know, Casey Kane, good player, not a one-on-one beat you guy.
No.
Not really. Jordan Whittington, you know, Card, I mean, he found him once on a long ball, almost made a terrific catch. But really, he was shut down in the second half when Worthy exited. So I look at it, and I think that the injury of Xavier Worthy had a cascading effect on the football game and, unfortunately, on the Texas offense. Texas has to figure out a way to know that could happen during a football game and have answers ready for that. Because it's not like this is the first time Xavier Worthy has been hobbled. He got injured a year ago and was out for periods of time, right? But Longhorns, I thought they used Jatavion Sanders, could have probably used him more. Jatavion, by the way, missed a big block in overtime on the guy that stuck Bijan in the hole. So it's not like these guys are getting better, but it's a work in progress. And one guy getting injured can't mean the sea change of an offense. And I do think that unlike the defense, where I don't see a disruptor unless you start thinking Ethan Burke is ready to play.
Right.
I mean, I just don't see one coming out of the woodwork. Offense a little bit different. You add Worthy back into it. His x-ray is negative. You add Quinn Ewers back, who definitely can open up the longer ball and make that more of a priority. I think you see a potential solution there. But, you know, I am concerned that unless Texas is playing with guys around the clock or at every position that can do their jobs, Worthy taking the top off, for example, they're not moving the football because people are just going to load up to stop the run against Bijan.
It's not just that. It's also, if you'll notice in the second half, where was the creativity of the play calling we saw in the first half? I thought that the game script was fantastic. If anything, Sark has shown us in 2022, he can get this team off to a good start just with great play calling, good scheming, you know, showing a bunch of different formations. In the second half, it seemed like he wanted everyone to know that there's one play on fourth down, and it involves Roshan Johnson and Wildcat. How many times, after once that works, how many times do you think it's going to continue to work? It's not. It's a lack of creativity. It was almost like, okay, I don't have Worthy, don't have Nayor, Ewers isn't playing, so the offense is going to be a little different with Card. And in the first half, it was tremendous. I thought they looked great. You know, they left some points on the field, but they looked great. That play calling in the second half, it seemed to be a little plain. It seemed to be a little – they just couldn't get that big play. Like you said, they couldn't hit that one play down the field, that vertical, to kind of open things up. And I thought it was obvious what they were doing on fourth down. And I love Roshan Johnson on the field. I love what he does in the Wildcat. But don't continue to do the same thing over and over again, especially when it only works one time and it barely worked at that. Those edges were playing contained, Bobby. They were forcing everything back in. That Wildcat works when Roshan or Bijan can get outside. That's when that works. Tech shut that down after one time, but Texas kept calling it. Sark kept going to it for some reason. If you need a disruptor on offense, you got one in Bijan Robinson. You got a guy that rushed for 6.3 yards per carry. You got a guy that can bust things open. But in that fourth quarter, they couldn't get a push from the offensive line. They kind of were stalled. They couldn't get anything beyond that because, like you said, that box, they kept coming down. They kept filling up. This is an offense that, when you're missing key components, can't get plain. It can't get vanilla like that. And think that that's just going to be good enough. And that's what the beauty of, you know, I think Hudson Card played a great game, Bobby. I really do. I thought Card showed, you know, I hate using the word moxie because it was attached to Case McCoy and it was so much of a joke to it. But, you know, Card looked great, especially when re-injuring his foot, his ankle. I thought Card looked really good. I didn't think he was the problem at all. But you take away Worthy, you take away Nayor, Whittington starts to get blanketed more and more. You only hit Jatavion on a handful of in the flat. That's an easy defense to read, Bobby, and that's exactly what Texas Tech did. It's not a great defense in Lubbock. It's a solid defense that played their assignments. They let Texas kind of do what they wanted to do, and they plugged the middle. You got to adjust. You've got to be able to adjust, and Texas didn't, Bobby. Sark and those guys did not adjust.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, there are throws I know that Hudson Card wishes he had back. The ball to Jordan Whittington was late on the sideline. There was a ball he threw deep down the sideline to Bijan Robinson, who was completely covered and blanketed, that Gunnar Helm was running screaming free on and around the 10-yard line. Texas eventually took a 3 points instead of getting 7 on that drive. I think Hudson Card played admirably. I don't know that he was a plus-plus player. He certainly got outplayed by Donovan Smith on the opposing side, in my opinion. Now, you can say, well, they didn't get vanilla with their play calls because they were striving from behind. But, part of that, you know, we can talk about it all we want. The reality of it is Hudson Card made some good plays. Those two third down conversions in the third quarter were outstanding. They were surprising plays by him. He hadn't climbed the pocket, I don't think, ever. And he did that on that pass to Casey Kane. And he ripped off a 20-yard or so run to put Texas back up by two scores. No doubt. That led to the only touchdown of the second half by Texas with the Bijan Robinson run out of a 21 personnel for a 40-yard touchdown. I feel like as we look at what Texas is trying to do on offense, it's my concern, and I think it's the concern of most Texas fans, Justin, is that we're seeing the same thing happen. We're seeing a defense that has no disruptors, that gets dinked and dunked down the field until they wilt. We're seeing a team lose after having a 10-point lead in the second half. Not, you know, that happens in today's game. It seems to happen more to Texas of late. And then we're seeing an offense that doesn't produce as much, nearly as much in the second half as they do in the first. Those are the three overwhelming factors I think that you take away from this game is go, wait a minute, this felt an awful lot like last year. Yeah. Let's take those three things. Dink and dunk is still working against Texas, right? You agree with that? I don't think they have any quick answers to that. Would you agree to that or no?
Quick answers, no. DeMarvion for a full game, I think, helps that a little bit because they can do different things, get to the quarterback. But you can still dink and dunk. That's actually what you do to get pressure off your quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. So there's one. There's that. There's also the idea that Texas had a 10-point lead in the second half and, to your point, didn't put their foot on their throats. Same as last year.
Yes.
Kate Thompson's going down the field. Up 17-3 against Oklahoma State at the end of the second quarter and throws a pick six. The game was over. The total momentum shifted. Texas never rebounded from that. I'm just giving you one example, right?
Right.
Even though that was in the second quarter, not the first. All right, not the second half. And then the last piece is just, you know, getting worn down to the very end, you know, and not winning a game that ultimately is winnable. And I feel like if you're a Texas fan right now, those three things combined, make you think, okay, what's the end game here? You know, is this going to be how is Texas going to see the light at the other end of the tunnel? I mean, what's the answer?
Yeah, I'm not sure there is an answer, Bobby. That's something that's going to have to be some, you know, self-involved research right there. I think they're close in so many regards, but we've seen close over the years. it's Sark's second year, and he's got a lot more going for him this year than he did last year. And I do think you see a significant change in the culture and the buy-in from the guys and how they're playing with each other. But I can't get past the fact you cannot give up 100 plays against a team and win. That's you're literally playing with your hands tied behind your back. You're putting your guys in the worst possible position. I'm surprised there weren't more injuries. Generally, that's what happens when guys are on the field for that long and extended period of time. I guess they could have been more like LSU and Coach Orgeron and just hit the field with, I got a cramp. You know, we had that a few years ago where, you know, 10 LSU players get cramps in 5 minutes. But no, seriously, the team is better overall as a whole. We're seeing the adversity and how you have to adjust from it. When you lose a Nayor beginning of the year and a Worthy, you've got to adjust. Your mindset changes a little bit. You've got Hudson Card rather than Quinn Ewers for two games. Your game plan adjusts. There's certain things you can't do. You know, God, they tried to go vertical a handful of times. They just weren't connecting on those plays. And so you have to make sure you have to do the best with what you have. And I thought over the course of the game, Texas had so many little chances where they could have just put this thing away. And we are having a completely different conversation. But the truth is, Bobby, these problems weren't going away. These are still going to be issues whether Texas won this game or not. These are still going to be underlying factors that rear their head throughout the season. And as we've seen with the Big 12, it is a mess this year. there are a lot of teams, a lot of games. Oklahoma lost their home opener, conference opener against Kansas State. You know, Baylor and Iowa State, if you watched any of that game, that was Iowa State had a lot of stuff go wrong. Especially from a call standpoint, officiating standpoint, that really gave Baylor all the momentum. You have to overcome that adversity. This program is so much better than it was a year ago. I just don't know how much better, and I know that they're in the stage right now trying to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, how did they get to the light at the end of the tunnel? The only way is if for players to step up and make plays,
especially on defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially on defense, and you know, get the Jatavion Sanders more involved. I think on offense would have helped in the second half. I think that whenever Xavier Worthy went down, if they would have been able to get Sanders more involved in the passing game, I think that would have helped Hudson Card quite a bit, especially in a controlled passing setting.
Yeah,
Sark needs a script for not scoring 7 points in 30 seconds. You know, he needs
you
a script.
You just nailed it, Bobby.
Yeah, he needs that to the hunt and peck type of thing, as opposed to going all for it. The one thing that strikes me about Hudson Card and why you need that with him at quarterback, the only long pass he completed all day was to Xavier Worthy.
To Worthy. That was great.
That was a nice move. Nice move by Card to evade the rush. Here's the problem with that. That was off schedule.
It was an off platform throw. It wasn't in the pocket. Yeah.
It was also off schedule. I mean, Worthy had stopped on the route. So it was off schedule.
So Worthy does.
Yeah, well, how easy. He stopped on the route because he was going to run out of bounds otherwise. And I'm not, this isn't to take away from Hudson Card or Xavier Worthy on that play, because it scored a touchdown. My point is, Hudson Card is just not a guy that after 20 yards, you really think much about as a thrower. And I think, you know, I feel like given that scenario, when he's the quarterback, Steve Sarkisian has to have some of this dink and dunk, hunt and peck, his offense a little bit more as well. And that's why I mentioned the importance of JT Sanders in doing so. And so I don't know that Texas went to that well. They instead tried to ride Bijan even in an 8-9 man box at times. And that did not ultimately work out. Justin, last question here. And I want to say this and try to get it right for everybody around there. What I'm looking at right now for Texas, they're 2-2. West Virginia comes to town next week. It's a 6:30 kick in DKR. West Virginia had a good game last week. JT Daniels seems to be picking up that offense pretty quick. He's got starting experience. Not only does he have starting experience at USC, he also has it at Georgia, and now he has it at West Virginia. So he's going to be the more experienced quarterback. They have a decent defense. They're not going to just be a sieve. What does Texas need to do to win that game?
They have got to, one, go back to their identity on offense. Find something that works, not just like you said, a three or four play drive that turns into a big play. They need to chomp yards. They need to control the tempo. And I know Sark wants to go fast. I know he likes that fast pace. Sometimes that does not allow your defense. That's not good for your defense sometimes. It just – and I know that's a part of the game and that's a part of what their identity is. It's not always good. For them to beat West Virginia, the offense has to stay on the field a little bit longer. If they get a lead, they have to keep a lead, and they have to learn how to play to keep a lead. Not so much, I don't want to say Turtle Tom, but there was a little bit of that in the fourth quarter. You can't be that. You can't, take your foot off the gas when you're in that regard. On defense, Bobby, JT Daniels can throw the football. This is a guy that's going to throw on Sundays. He throws a great ball. West Virginia is not a team that's going to beat you with talent up and down the field, but they're well coached. Neil Brown does a good job. They're going to come in with every expectation of winning that game. They need to find that disruptor on defense. They've got to find a guy like a Baron Sorrell. Where was Sorrell yesterday? This is a guy that you really needed. You needed somebody to be able to come off that edge and to be able to blister the quarterback. And I thought the emotional toll was built up a little bit more with Overshown in the second half, but it didn't matter. They have got to find a guy that's going to get that quarterback. And I'm not talking about over-pursuing. I saw a bunch of guys bending the arc and taking themselves out of plays, especially – I know Ovi had a few plays where he just literally took himself out. You've got to have one guy that sort of solidifies where they're at on defense and what they're doing. This is a decent defense, Bobby. This is not a bad defense. This is still a solid defense with some really good components. Find exactly what you need to do to beat a West Virginia team, because they're going to dink and dunk. They're not going to make a lot of mistakes. They're probably not going to make a lot of big plays either. Figure out a way on third downs to get to the quarterback. At whatever cost. Figure out a way on third downs, because just two or three of those times on Saturday, and we're talking about a Texas win. It really is that close. I know there's so many things we can find wrong, but there's some things we can also see that are on the right path. They get a few stops, Bobby. This game is over. It's not a game that they absolutely got their butt kicked. It's a game they got essentially out-coached and out-adjusted in the second half. Don't let that happen against West Virginia. Be prepared for playing with a lead in the second half. And you might get a few guys back. If you get a Quinn Ewers back, that's going to make a difference, because that's a guy that can change what that defense wants to do. And ultimately, I think that's why Sark chose Quinn Ewers, Bobby, because it makes the defense do things they're not used to. It makes defenses pay attention to things they don't normally have to. Against Hudson Card, no defenses have to do that. Against Quinn Ewers, they're constantly on their toes looking for adjustments.
Justin Wells, InsideTexas.com. Thank you. Also, special thanks to Tim Rodman at Bertolotti's Rodman. At Bertolotti's Rodman, it's about the relationships. The full-service law firm specializes in business and real estate law, satisfying the needs of a startup to complex negotiations to every contract needed in between. Bertolotti's Rodman develops lasting, meaningful relationships that put their clients first. Thanks to Tim for supporting On Texas Football and Inside Texas as well. Justin Wells, thank you again. Hopefully we talk next Sunday about a better result, about a defense that steps up, and about an offense that actually does put their foot on the throat of the West Virginia Mountaineers. But until we see it, prove it, and let's just not talk about it. For Justin, I'm Bobby Burton. This has been On Texas Football.